In the name of one God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. This is a quote from Julian of Norwich. It may be familiar to some of you. It is a quote that one might see in cross stitch on a rector's wall. But if it's not familiar, I will offer that this quote is frequently used in Christian circles as a platitude when life seems to be going sideways. Major fires, floods, or earthquakes, and you start to look to putting your life together, you can count on someone telling you, all shall be well and all shall be well. You've gone through a devastating loss. You didn't get the job that you hoped for. Your church is struggling. Someone will put their arm around you and tell you, all shall be well, all shall be well. You're having a difficult time at work or with your family or with the world. All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Now, back in seminary, who knows what I was struggling with in the moment, but I was speaking with my spiritual director about something or other, and this quote from Julian came up, and she looked at me, and she smiled her little sly smile and said, you know, Rachel, people love to use this quote to give us hope. And that's not a bad thing. But they always forget the 12 chapters that came before this quote that talk about how hard living a life of faith can be. She's not wrong. You see, Julian, in her lifetime, lived through not one but two outbreaks of the Black Plague and had a separate near-death experience. Not only did she have that, but she actually asked God to give her such challenges so that she could draw nearer to understanding Christ and Christ's own suffering. Her life was not exactly an easy all shall be well experience, which is exactly what I think about each time I read the Beatitudes. Okay, Jesus, I hear you, or as we say now, I see you. I see where you're going with this. But this is not going to be easy. Today's gospel reading is a bookend to Jesus's first tour, if you will, through the Galilee. It started with a reading we heard a few weeks ago, with a passage that is hopefully familiar to you by now, if you listened to the sermon. It started with the passage where Jesus is in his home synagogue, and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah and says that he has come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. So that teaching is bookended with what we hear today, which is Jesus's Sermon on the Plain. Now, we all always hear about the Sermon on the Mount. Well, Luke's is a Sermon on the Plain, and you get to hear the second half of his sermon next week. We're excited to hear about it. So Jesus begins this moment on the plain, this time of teaching, by naming who is blessed in the realm of God. Who is it that Jesus is calling his disciples, that Jesus is now calling us as Christians to pay attention to? The poor, the hungry, those who are in deep sorrow, those who are hated and reviled. Jesus is not just reminding those who listen that such people exist. Jesus is actually speaking to the poor and the hungry and the sorrowful and those that are hated. Jesus is offering hope of what should be. No, hope of what can be when we follow our faith and we tend to those who are overlooked and discounted and shut out for whatever reason. Blessed are the poor, for all that God has is theirs. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be fed. Blessed are those who are broken, for they will laugh again. Jesus is not giving a platitude. Jesus is giving them and us hope. Not just hope that they are being seen, not just acknowledged as living human beings with feelings, not just remembering that every single human life is one of God's beloved. No, Jesus is giving hope that when God's love is shared equally with everyone, no one will be broken. No one will be less than, for we are all made whole in God's mercy and love and grace. Yet in the Gospel of Luke, along with the hope of the Beatitudes, we get some bonus text. We get the woes. But woes are not so much judgment as a lament. They're a lament for people who are too comfortable in their own lives. And following Jesus and caring for those in need is more of a challenge. And when we get to that point in our lives, we will know deep emptiness. When we stop following Jesus, we will know a lack of consolation. We will know hunger and mourning. And all the words that people speak of us will be empty. Maybe these things won't happen physically, but they will certainly happen spiritually and emotionally. Jesus knows that riches and power and fame can pull our attention away from God, pull our attention away from God's love, and how God calls us to reorient our lives through the lens of God's love and to care for those in need. Jesus points his followers, Jesus points us in the right direction with this sermon on the plain. Feed the hungry, help the poor, comfort the sorrowful. Do not put your faith in the wealth and material goods and the comfort of a secure life, for they can lead us away from sharing God's mercy, away from extending God's grace, away from giving God's love. Which brings us back to Julian of Norwich. Following Jesus is not an easy task. And in the words of the fourth and the fifth and the sixth graders who I got to be with for just a minute today in Sunday school, following Jesus is not all rainbows and unicorns. Turning our hearts to be in tune with our faith each and every day is challenging. I know, I'm supposed to be doing it professionally, right? You all are just supposed to be doing it faithfully. But I know that daily prayer takes dedication and can sometimes seem like it's time away from other tasks that are bearing down on us that are very important. Sharing our wealth is often framed as taking something away from us rather than giving to be sure everybody has enough. In short, following Jesus is no walk in the park. There's so many voices around us, so many more powerful voices that call us to prioritize our own gain and our own needs and our own desires over that of others. Following Jesus then and following Jesus now takes intention. It takes effort. It takes our everything. The Beatitudes are an outline for how we are to follow Jesus. And remember that as we follow as individuals, really, we follow together as a faith community. And while the path will not always be smooth, Julian of Norwich has some words of encouragement for us, not quite as well known, but she has encouragement as we strive to follow Jesus. Julian says, Jesus did not say you'll never have a rough passage. You'll never be overstrained, that you will never feel uncomfortable. But Jesus did say you will never be overcome. Our call as Christians, our call, St. Cross, is to have courage and to have strength to follow Jesus' teaching each and every moment of our lives. For if we lean into what Jesus calls us to do, then all will truly be well. Amen.